Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI.
Essentially, all building an email list is, at its core ethos, is sharing a journey, sharing the story. The better you get at sharing a story and really helping people picture that story and sharing it in a way that could also help them in their lives, we feel that, oh, why does anybody want to hear anything from me? What do I know? I'm just starting. But there's someone else who's like a couple steps below you who would find a lot of value in learning from you.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later.
And now your host, he's not sure what he loves more, creating podcasts or listening to them, Pat Flynn.
Hey, and real quick, our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you haven't tried a sit/stand desk before, this offer from Uplift is the perfect opportunity. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. A desk should fit the user, right? Which is exactly why Uplift Desk has a ton of customization options. They're stable, the materials are solid. I mean, just the choices of material alone are incredible, all the way from laminate to eco to bamboo and even solid wood. The option to stand while working is just healthier, better circulation, better movement, which helps to reduce all kinds of different health risks and repetitive strains. And over a million customers have chosen Uplift Desk for their innovative designs, direct to consumer pricing, same day shipping. They can even give you free accessories with every desk. Uplift is a great deal, and they're built to last and include an industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that as well. So go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order.
Hey, what's up? It's Pat here from the Smart Passive Income Podcast, session 543. And our special guest today, I mean, you're going to learn so much. You're going to get inspired, but you're also going to learn a lot of the tactical things, like, for example, a not-so-common tool that she uses to find the right people at the right time. She even talked about specifically something that happened just a few minutes before this episode started that got her to share a brand new company with her platform and her audience, and she didn't even know this company even existed a couple minutes before. So what did that person do? Well, you're going to hear and find out. You'll also hear about the start of things, right? If you're starting a podcast, especially, or anything where you have to put yourself out there, our guest today tells us a lot of her secrets to how to stand out, but also how to feel worthy, right? Because we often question ourselves. We often ask ourselves, well, why would anybody listen to me? Or why would anybody watch this video? Or why would anybody read our blog, right? And there's some very special things we can do right at the start of our journey that actually give us an advantage over others who have been in it for a while. And we're going to talk about all those strategies and more today with Esprit Devorah, who I'm so excited to chat with. In fact, if you don't know who she is, let me tell you about her a little bit. One fun fact about her is that her face was on the Clubhouse app. And Clubhouse is an app, it's like a social media tool, but it's audio-based, right? And her face was on the app. Like, they just cycle through a few faces. There's no words on the logo of the app. It's just different faces. Her face was one of them, and not many people can say that. That's a fun fact about her. And the reason that is because she is an authority on that platform. She does incredibly well at bringing communities together on that platform, but not just there. She is a podcast host and a podcast producer. She is a founder. Harper's Bazaar coined her podcast one of the top 10 to listen to, in fact. She has a couple podcasts, in fact. We Are LATech.com is one space to go. She is actually the founder of that, and she brings the tech community together in Los Angeles, which I think is really amazing. And she also has the Women in Tech podcast, which you should highly recommend. And she's just such an amazing woman, and I highly recommend you stick around and listen, because we got so much to talk about today. But what I love most about Esprit is just her energy, right? And she's not afraid to share her story. She's not afraid to be vulnerable, because she knows it's going to help all of us. And so you'll hear that and more today. Here she is, Esprit Devorah. Esprit, welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Woo, let's go.
So excited to be here. Thank you, Pat. Pat, you're just such a legend in the community from way when I started. I think you were doing it before I started.
When did you begin your show?
In 2013.
13, yeah. So I was a couple years ahead of you, but we're both jamming on podcasts now. It's like, it's my favorite thing to do. I know it's yours as well. Mm-hmm. What do you love about it so much?
Well, okay. So the honest answer is it's changed throughout, you know, my journey, because right now I'm pretty burnt out on podcasting and I'm having to rediscover my mm-hmm. love and my why. And I think that's an important thing to talk about, because I have a successful show and I've been doing it a while doesn't mean that everything is gravy. And so in the beginning, I was really driven by connection and about social mission, and just the art form of audio is really important to me. But lately, in the past, I'd say year and a half, 2 years, maybe, you know, included going from being an in-studio podcast to the pandemic, your only option is remote podcasting. And my podcasts were never intended to be fully remote. So it's just a different experience, and I've been having to rediscover my why. But what keeps me going, just for social audio and podcasting in general, is I love connection. Like, I love knowing that I have access to one person and I get to share that access with so many people, so that my value doesn't stay, or like the value of the conversation doesn't stay just in the one conversation.
Yeah. I mean, how many times do we wish, now that we are podcasters, we wish when we're in a room with somebody, we're like, oh, if only we could record this right now and share it, and, you know, because there's so much value in these little conversations we have. And that's one of the reasons I love podcasting. And we'll get into some tips and all those kinds of things, so make sure to stick around for that. But Esprit, you know, thank you for being honest about how you are feeling right now. Like, what is burnout for you right now? It takes a different life for everybody, but what does that mean for you right now?
I think... So I had that really cool thing happened with one of the main social apps, and I got a lot of notoriety from that. And it really made me reflect. I remember at the time that that happened, my friend had just passed away, and I just needed to keep to myself. And there was this like draw where in order to be healthy, I have to keep to myself, but yet I just got this cool opportunity. So I have to be online all the time. And I ended up choosing to just keep to myself to be healthy. And I look back on that a lot. And sometimes I feel like I regret that decision, but I'm like, how asinine is that I regret being healthy? Like, like, that's a strange thing to regret, you know? And so what I've been reflecting on a lot, and it was really inspired by that life experience, is what does it mean to be a successful person, a successful creator, a successful entrepreneur? Like, truly, what does that mean to me, so that I could put some boundaries and limitations around it and not feel that I have to regret making choices that don't lead me on a path to feeling healthy and being healthy. And so some of that stuff looks like, my most recent one is I took all social media apps off of my main phone, and that's been really interesting, but I'm still just as immersed into apps. They're just not controlling me. I'm utilizing them as a utility. And so that's a recent one. Other things are just like, What does success mean to me? Success means that I live in a state of inner peace more often than I don't. When I was first building my first action sports company, where, you know, it's like my claim to fame, where I raised money and I wanted to be as big as Google, like what at success at that point was IPOs and being on the cover of a magazine. Success now is, do I feel joy when no one's looking?
Mm. Do you think the difference is, well, you've discovered what success means to you now.
Yeah.
Who defined success for you before, when it was magazines, when it was IPOing? Was that also you and you just changed, or was that reflected of somebody else putting those on you?
Yeah, what a great question. I really think it was also me. It was just where I was in the stage of my life. I think now, with this draw of digital media, I feel it's society, because I wouldn't be on all this stuff. Like, okay, let's just go back to your original question about podcasting and where I am with it, with burnout. And I was talking about, you know, the remote recording. And I've decided, and this is really terrifying for me, like, I don't even know if I'm fully committed, I'm so scared, but that I'm not going to do video in 2022, because I find that doing video is so taxing energetically, and doing audio just, I leave feeling more energized and curious and ready for my next thing. And doing video, I just feel like, okay, I have to get dressed and I have to like be staring at a screen and then all this stuff. I'm afraid. I'm afraid because like YouTube and content and repurposing and all of these things, I'm afraid of, I'm just afraid of missing out. I'm afraid of not having the memory. I'm afraid of a loss of opportunity. I'm afraid, just super afraid. I'm like, Esprit, do you want to live in a scarcity mindset or do you want to live in an abundance mindset? Like, let's get real. What is best for you? And I'm just like, oh, just doing audio, just audio. That's how I started. That's what's best for me. So just do it. And I'm still, you know, it's not 2022 yet. I just did my first pilot run. It was very scary to not do video. And it sounds so silly, but I feel such a demand.
You are stopping video. I'm starting video. Like, I almost feel bad that I asked you to come on video now to record this
It's a lot different. I produce like 24 episodes a month. So it's like 24 times I have to be on video a month. Yeah, it's a lot different than going on someone's show versus me doing my own. Yeah.
Sure. No, I appreciate that. But I think you're right. Like, we all go through different seasons and we have to know and listen to ourselves. And I love how, like, oftentimes, this is often the case, we always circle back to where we started.
Yeah,
because it's, well, back to the fundamentals, or back to why I got into this in the first place.
Right. Yeah.
So these external factors, we have to really have a filter of sorts.
Yeah.
Or else we'll be controlled by others, or else we'll do a lot more than we necessarily need to. So now that you've done this pilot episode, and where can people go to listen, by the way? Which podcast are you talking about?
Oh, no. It's my own podcast. I was doing the Women in Tech podcast.
Women in Tech. Okay.
I just did this pilot episode without pilot meaning... A trial run with no video to see how I felt. And it was the first time in a really long time. But before the pandemic, I never did video. So,
After recording without video, how did you feel?
I felt more energized. It definitely felt better, but I was afraid of missing it. And I did turn on the video for like at the end for, I think it was like a few minutes, in order to create a Giphy later.
Ah, right. So something that you can put on social later.
Right. Yeah. I liked it a lot better, but I feel like, okay, so I got this message earlier today. So many people ask me, as they do, probably way more to you than to me, but they asked me how to podcast questions. And one of the questions I got today was like, what's more successful? Having a host, not having a co-host, or having a co-host, having multiple, which one is the most successful? That's the thing about life. There is no one path. Path is the most successful. It's like we have to create our own path. Everybody has a unique path. Tim Ferriss, Richard Branson, all these icons, they have their unique journey, their unique story. It can't be replicated, as much as we could read their books and all this stuff. Like, we have our own path to follow. And so when this person asked me the question of which one, it's just this reminder that we always feel that there's like the right way to do things. And if we do it the right way, then everything's going to work out and we're going to make millions really fast and automate everything, and everything will be scalable and we'll be like, set, and we could go have, you know, drinks on a beach in some island, you know. It's just that's not reality for anybody. Like, there's just a different, some people, one of my friends who's a business owner, His former company got acquired, but not for a lot. It was like a really bad deal, allegedly. Hmm. The buyers wanted to pay him in crypto. He decided to go for it. That crypto turned into a lot of money. So what was considered to be a bad deal turned into really, like, there's just luck sometimes, like whether you get crypto or you get the real estate at the right time, or you choose the right company, or you meet the right investor in a bar. I mean, there's just so many stories. So I think it's really important that we create our own story of what success means to us. And for me, like in my own journey, like there's a lot of things that a lot of people desire that I don't. The things that are really important to me are traveling the world. Being a good daughter is really important to me. There's just like feeling stable in my home, meaning like my home's not going anywhere. There's just, you know, being a really great friend. I'd love to provide for my family. Like those types of things are really important to me. I don't desire some big house. I love my beat up car. Like, you know, those things aren't success to me. So, but it's okay if someone else wants the Ferrari. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's defining like what is success to your individual journey and then what is the path to get there.
For sure. And it could be hard because you might not necessarily know where the path is going to lead you, but you do have to take those first steps somewhere, because there's a lot of people listening right now who want that success and they have a vision of what success means to them. They have a vision board, and maybe it's Ferraris, maybe it's family.
Yeah.
Pick your favorite F word.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
That's really funny.
And then it's like, okay, well, you got to take that first step. I love the idea of podcasting as a first step to put yourself out there, to try to build an audience, to try to communicate with people in this way. But it can be very scary. How do you encourage people who are stepping into the world of getting behind the microphone to be the best version of themselves when they do that?
I mean, the first thing, and I think you totally agree with this, is just show up. I think we're all so scared that we won't be perfect enough, so we don't show up at all. So the very first thing is just show up. I think the second thing is once you're showing up consistently, you're like, oh my gosh, am I doing this right? Or am I doing it wrong? Oh my gosh, I'm failing. And then, you know, there's the thing, pod fade, where you quit after like 7 episodes or something. Instead, if you just create a list of fun experiments for yourself every single month, like I'm going to try a newsletter, I'm going to read Pat's blog and figure out how to do blog posts, I'm going to, you know, everything to market your podcast, and just see what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And then what doesn't work, eliminate. And what does work, do more of. And just become an observer of your own journey. Really enjoy the process of your journey rather than trying to rush your way to a destination. I know it's so cliche, but it's usually the journey that is the most exciting. I'm going to share one more thing. My friend Danny Miranda, who's this amazing podcast host, the Danny Miranda Show or podcast, I don't remember how it ends. He said something really interesting. He was being really supportive of me one day, and he was giving me advice on something. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing. I just know how big you're getting. And he's like, I'm like, how do you stay so committed to the journey? Like, why are you so energized by the journey in itself? Why don't you care about the destination? He doesn't care about verification marks. He doesn't care about being an overnight success. I'm like, how do you do that? He's like, because there's privileges in every step of the journey. If I was bigger than I am now, maybe I wouldn't have had the time to talk to you to be a supportive friend. But right now, I have the privilege of time to be there for my friends. In a few years, I'll have a different set of privileges. So to every step of the way, embrace the luxuries that we currently have. Normally we're looking so far into the future that we're not appreciating what we have right now. Mm.
That's so true, especially for us entrepreneurs who, you know, we have to think forward, but we often leave behind what we have now. And sometimes that is our health. Sometimes that is, you know, our relationships, because we're so looking ahead, or sometimes that's celebrating the small wins that we just had in our business.
Totally.
We don't even do that because we're already like, okay, now we're here, let's go there. And it's like, and then you get to burnout.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Now, a big struggle that a lot of new podcasters have is, well, it just seems so saturated now. How do we even get found? Yeah. Where do we even begin to go? Like, why do I deserve people to listen to me when I'm just starting out, when there's so many other great people out there already to listen to?
Yeah.
How do you coach somebody through those mental blockages when starting out on this very vulnerable thing behind the microphone that we do?
I mean, we all have mental blocks that don't just hold us back from podcasting. They hold us back from so many things. So normally it's not the thing. It's not podcasting. It's not creating a YouTube channel. It's not building a business. It's like ourselves. Like for me personally, right now, I'm really, really proactively working on my self-worth issues, right? So because I have, because of history that I won't get into here, and I have struggle with self-worth issues, that affects my negotiations. It affects like how I show up, how I have conversations. It affects so many things. So I'm like jumping in and like really looking at it and asking myself on a daily basis, like, what narratives am I telling myself today that simply are not true? Like, and all day long, I'm like challenging those narratives because I'm trying to rewire my brain and how I see myself and how I present, and not necessarily how I present. It's more how I see myself and the scripts that I'm telling myself. So what I'd like to invite everybody to do is when you're thinking about like, am I good enough to have a podcast? Why will people listen to me? All those things are just psychological things to work through. The reality is PewDiePie, that one of the biggest YouTubers in the world, was not first
PewDiePie.
I love PewDiePie.
Me too. He's funny.
He was not one of the first YouTubers. Alex Cooper, who just her Call Her Daddy podcast that just got licensed to Spotify for $60 million, was not the first podcast. There's been a lot of people around a lot longer that have a lot bigger audiences, but for whatever reason, like those worked, those stuck. And there's so many other creators like that that aren't the first, but they have something unique, or they create, I think, a really great rapport with their community. It's really about compounding those steps, doing those experiments, really honing in on your audience. I mean, you've done this your entire career, month after month, reevaluating your community and your audience and forming that deeper relationship with them. And then they end up becoming your recommendation engine to everybody else. Since I started podcasting in 2013, I always said, I'd rather someone be mentally subscribed to my show than physically subscribed, because you'll change your phone, you'll delete apps. But if you're mentally subscribed, you'll always be thinking about my show. That's how I feel about the podcast To Live or Die in LA. I'm hosted by Neil Strauss. I'm always wondering, oh my gosh, do they have another season out yet? Like, you know, I just need to listen to the show.
So how do we have our listeners mentally subscribe to us?
Yeah. So many ways. Think about Tony Hsieh used to say this. He had a thing called ICE. I think it's inform, something inform, something educate, entertain. I forget what the C was, but the idea is like, what do you want to leave people with? Like, how do you want them to feel after listening? What is the purpose of them listening to your show? Think about why you listen to specific shows. Are you listening to a show to get educated? Are you listening to a show to be entertained? Are you listening to a show to be informed? Are you listening to a show to escape? Why are you listening to those shows? And then think about, what can you create in that person's life? And so for the Women in Tech podcast, the whole idea, I mean, I shared with you like my own self-worth issues, like the idea behind the Women in Tech podcast is, if she can do it, so can I. I wanted to create an example of possibilities so that all listeners can further believe in themselves. And that comes from a core pain of my own. And I just don't want anyone to experience my same pain. So I'm just like, okay, I'm going to share as many stories to show you the possibilities so that you could go out and say, I can do it too. You know, We Are LA Tech is like, oh my gosh, I want to know what's going on in LA. I don't want to miss out. I need to tap in. It's a growing tech hub. And so, you know, people tap into the We Are LA Tech podcast to be informed. So one of them is a belief in self. One of them is to be informed and to be plugged in. Like, What are you providing? And then how are you forming those intimate relationships with your community? I use a lot the Twitter advanced search tool, and I will just search topics and hashtags and locations, and I will just have a crazy amount of conversations with strangers around the world. And this all leads back to like, people end up following me for years and years and years. Oh, I heard you talk in, you know, 2007. I'm like, that's insane. You know, oh, I heard this episode, or, oh, someone told me to go to you. And it's all these little steps that I've done without even thinking about it throughout the entirety of my career. And then you cultivate this community over time. No one does it better than you, Pat. You're like the legend of it.
No, I mean, there are people doing it way better, but I'm trying to do my best, and it's not just me, it's my team, and everybody on the team knows that the value doesn't come from just the content. It comes from the connection and the yeah. community. And that's actually what the C, I looked it up while you were talking.
Was it connection?
Tony Hsieh is inspire, connect, educate, and entertain. And that connection is something that's really key, but also a big struggle with podcasting.
Because yeah.
when it's a podcast, you don't have the YouTube comments, you don't have memberships or anything like that. You have to sort of build on top of that. How do yeah. you best recommend a person who's behind the mic, who's sharing their story, who wants to connect, to be able to connect? How do we actually mechanically do that with our audience?
I mean, like I said, one of the ways I use is the Twitter advanced search tool. I know you have a circle group. I've had mm-hmm. Facebook groups. The thing is, we have to do the best possible job at not getting caught up in the technology and really just being caught up in, are you accomplishing the thing rather than yeah. are you using the right tool?
I like that.
I think we get so caught up in the technology that we get distracted. We lose track of the results because we're so like, oh my gosh, let me create this Facebook group. You know, it's like, no, it's not about Facebook group. It's like, is the thing working? Like evaluate after, like, this is hard for me as well. It's like, okay, there's a couple of tools. There's like Circle and Luma. It's like, which one do I use? Circle, Luma, Circle. It's like, how about I try one for 1 month and then another one for another month? And I just see which one people like more. And why don't I decide based on what the people want, right? Or not have anything at all, you know? And so I think that we get so caught up in the technology that we get distracted.
I agree with that. I mean, it's so prevalent that like we'll imagine that just getting the right tool will solve all the problems
yes.
for us, right? It's like,
oh,
just
because
you have a great lens yeah. on your camera doesn't mean you're going to be a great photographer yet.
Totally.
It's the intention, like you said, and if you have the intention, honestly, you can use any of the tools.
Yeah.
And do it right and build and cultivate an audience there, right?
Speaking of tools, my most powerful tool that I'm using right now, and it's just like, I'm just like, thank goodness it exists. I do a combination. There's this thing called Focus Mate, which is virtual co-working. It's like $5 a month. Mm-hmm. And I listen to, like, I don't know what they call it, like brain sounds. I have a ton yeah. of tools, but one of the music things. So I'll do my Focus Mate with my brain sounds and I'll be extremely intentional of what I want to work on. And I've been working a lot on boundaries. So a combination of being really intentional of what actually moves my business forward and moves me forward to like energetically and mm-hmm. my boundaries. So I'm sure you get this all the time, Pat. Oh, it will just take 2 seconds. Oh, can I just ask you this? Just 2 seconds. When you have hundreds of people, even if you have 2 people just needing 2 seconds, which really isn't 2 seconds, it's like an hour, 45 minutes. And then you have to like swap tasks. You end up not actually moving your business forward. So if you set time aside, like, okay, for me, I'm going to do 2 Focus Mate sessions, have my brain music on, and I'm going to do Twitter advanced search, and I'm going to work on my community building. And then the second the 2 sessions are over, I'm done. And then I'm going to be very intentional about the next task that I'm doing. And I'm going to plant these seeds every single day consistently. And I'm going to track and observe how it's growing, what's working. For example, when I do tweets, for whatever reason, they really drive up my YouTube viewership. It's gnarly, right? But for someone else, maybe that wouldn't work. I don't know why it works for me, but that's what I'm assessing. I'm observing, okay, what about the tweet? Do I include a link in the tweet? Do I not? Do I have a photo? And being really intentional with every single experiment, just doing little bits at a time, like all of a sudden, you're relinquishing control of the outcome and you're observing what the outcome is to further inform your decisions. And I think the painful part is when we want to control the outcome so bad and then we're like, oh, I signed up for the group tool and now nobody's using it. How do I get people to use it? Like, that is just so draining and frustrating. How about maybe the tool just doesn't work? Or, okay, I've noticed, like, instead of saying, how do I get people to use it? Instead of saying, I've noticed I'm not getting a lot of listeners this month. I've noticed that people aren't engaging. I've noticed. What are some of the options I have that I could try out and see how those work, if any of them work at all? And it just kind of becomes this like exciting journey of exploration rather than this, oh.
Yeah, it's just like your friend, your podcasting friend that you just spoke about,
yeah.
who is all about, well, I'm here now. I can enjoy what I have and learn and, yeah. and move forward from here, as opposed to thinking all about the verification or the goal at the end.
Yeah.
As Miley Cyrus says, it's all about the climb. Right? It's all about the climb. So we all know that you can't just start a podcast and get listeners, right?
Yeah.
Even before being able to build a community, we still need to be found somehow.
Right.
Is it a, if you build it, they will come?
No, not for anything. Well, I mean, I love what Jason Fried does. He, you know, Jason Fried has always been about like building up. I mean, you talk about this all the time, building up the email list. Like,
yeah.
It seems like whoever has the email list has the power, and you could start building an email list at any point. Essentially, all building an email list is at its core ethos is sharing a journey, sharing the story. The better you get at sharing a story and really helping people picture that story and sharing it in a way that could also help them in their lives. I have this book, Show Your Work by Austin Kleon, I think his name is. We feel that, oh, why does anybody want to hear anything from me? What do I know? I'm just starting. But there's someone else who's like a couple steps below you who would find a lot of value in learning from you. And so the earlier you could start sharing your story, I did this by accident because I was using sharing my story as a form of accountability just to get things done. And it turns out that in sharing my story, I built up like an audience, but I wasn't doing that. I learned now looking back, I'm like, oh, that's why that worked out. So today, after listening to this podcast, go share your story, whether it's on your Facebook profile or it's on Instagram stories. I mean, I pretty much use my Instagram stories as like journal entries, whether it's on Twitter, whatever platform you use, whether it's emails, maybe it's emailing 10 friends, whatever it may be, whatever distribution outlet you use to share your story, start sharing, because that 10 listeners that starts out will then become 20 and then so on and so on. And so don't try to like be Joe Rogan overnight. And everyone who's looking to try to be Joe Rogan at all, think about like, again, what is success to you? Like I was talking earlier today about a blog post called 1,000 True Fans, that you really only need 1,000 true fans to have a profitable, successful business. So why are you trying to be Joe Rogan? Like, is there a reason that are you looking for fame? Like, what is that about? Like, because if all you need is 1,000 people, just go after 1,000, go after like 5 people a day or 10 people a day, whatever it is, and eventually you'll get to that 1,000 people.
So that article was written in 2005 by a man named Kevin Kelly,
the
senior editor of Wired Magazine. I know this because this is the article that inspired my book, Superfans. Like literally,
oh, awesome.
You called it out and it's perfect because it's true. You don't need a bunch of people. If you have 1,000 true fans, like you said, and they are supporting you with $100 a year, this is what he talks about in his article. $100 a year is not much for a super fan for your art, your creative, your work, your whatever it is you offer. That's a 6-figure business already with 1,000 people.
Totally.
And you can find 1,000 people in a micro niche inside a space, space to help and become their resource for. And to bring it into perspective, that's one fan a day for less than 3 years.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
So you could use your Twitter strategy to find somebody who needs help today.
Yeah.
You help them and they become a fan. The same thing again tomorrow, right?
The Twitter advanced tool, I'm telling you, it's clutch. I think it's being slept on. There's a perfect example. I was in your office hours earlier today. And while I was in your office hours, there was a guy who tweeted me who has this repurposing company I told you about. But the founder sent me a video talking to, like, used my name, sent me a video in the DM. Now, I noticed that same company had messaged me months before. I didn't see it. I was so taken by like the founder creating me this personal video that then I clicked on the website and I checked it out. And then because it happened to be the same time that other people were asking about repurposing, I shared it. That's how that happens, right? Like that guy, do you think if that guy just sent me, check out my website, please demo me, can I just have 2 seconds of your time? No. But like he took the time to send me a video, a personal video. And I mean, that's how little I get that. Like I rarely get a personal video, that it ended up in multiple places because he took that one personal action. So think about how many people, it's not going to be everybody, but how many people that will also create that compounding effect for if you reach out to 5 people a day. Maybe 1 out of 5 will do that. Maybe every other day somebody will do something similar. And after a while, that just grows.
This should help with that thought of, oh, but I only have 100 listeners to my podcast. It's like, yeah, any one of those 100 could start this amazing process and snowball effect with sharing your brand. And, you know, the trouble with podcasting is that we don't have the YouTube algorithm, for example, or an algorithm even per se, other than search engine optimization on Google, but that's kind of far removed from a listening experience. Mm-hmm. So we have to work on these relationships. And the cool thing is podcasting, better than YouTube, in my opinion, can get deeper into the psyche of who it is that you're listening to and building a relationship with them. I mean, you become friends with people you listen to, even though you've never spoken to them before. It's one of the coolest phenomenons.
Totally. And remember, 100 people, think about 100 human beings in a room. Wouldn't you be stoked?
Yeah.
100 humans, even if you had 20.
Crammed in this office, but...
but you know, it's like, I think people forget, they see the millions, and a lot of millions are bots half the time, you know, like 100 human beings, like that you have their attention. What an honor, you know?
Seriously. Yeah, that's so true. I mean, like imagine your podcast is a little like housewarming party or something with just a few people, but you can have an amazing experience with just a few people, and you can truly change lives, and you can tell great stories. You had mentioned story, that word, many times before, telling your story. What are some perhaps techniques that you've learned or have you ever kind of dove into the art of telling the story, and what are some tips that you might have?
Yeah, well, I was a journalist, and I also studied creative writing in school. So a lot of my training comes from having studied it, where I'm asking myself, am I describing this where someone could get a visual, or am I just saying it? Because typically you want to describe things, like I want to describe your red shirt. I want to say red shirt with the cool font. I don't just want to say he's wearing a shirt. So I think about different ways to make things a picture in someone's head. I also think about the intent of what I'm sharing. How will this be of service to others? And not just like gimmicky, like, I don't know, drink my shake, it will make you strong. Like truly, like, how will what I'm writing right now truly impact someone's life on a deep level? Like if I share right now, I'm vulnerable enough to share like my self-worth journey. How can I share that in a powerful way online that doesn't make me a victim, but helps others? Because it's not about me on social. It's really about others. And I think that's the thing that confuses people, is a lot of people use social media to say, look at me, look at me, look at me. No, the people winning on social are the people who feel like, whoa, they stop in their tracks because you've really elevated their lives in some way. With Icy again, you either informed them, you connected them, you entertained them, or you educated them.
Man, you want people to come and go, wow, you get me. Like somebody's finally paying attention to me. I mean, that's the cool thing about social. It's interesting because social was supposed to be this thing that brought us all together. But because we're all using it to be a broadcasting platform, we're all getting further apart from each other. But like you said, it's those who take a little bit of time to give a little bit of attention to somebody, just like the repurposing company that reached out to you and sent you a little video, which, by the way, is all built into natively all these different platforms already.
Yeah.
You just have to click a button. You can make such a huge impact in that way.
You know what this guy said? It was smart. I was like, I should do that. He goes, I'm just taking a walk. It was so smart. He's like, I'm just taking a walk. I decided to take 15-minute walks every day. And on the 15-minute walks, I just want to connect with someone who's really inspired me. And he said my name and everything. So I knew it wasn't like, I can't stand those mass videos. It's like, look, it's the same thing as like a copy, you know? And I was like, what a smart idea. I mean, you need to walk, like you should be walking anyway because it's healthy. And you just like do it while you're on a walk anyway and just say a quick hello to someone. Totally make someone's day.
You want to hear something crazy?
Yes.
So I teach the strategy of using the DMs in this manner. And I remember speaking to a student about this, and they're like, ooh, okay. I'm going to look up the most common names. I'm going to create a video for all the Johns. I'm going to create a video for all the Amys.
Wow.
And it's just like, you don't have to automate everything, right? Why do we want to do that so much, where it just starts to remove us from true, real connections that we can have with people?
Yeah. Because this world, the way it functions now, I mean, we all know this. These apps are built to control our mind. Like we're the product.
I saw the documentary. Yep.
Yeah. So it like when I remove social from my phone, I had phantom things where I would go to my phone and try to refresh, or I would like look for the app to refresh, but there was no app on my phone. So it's really trippy, right? And that lasted 2 or 3 days. And then I was confused in the moments where I would go to social, like, let's say I was switching tasks or something and there was no social to go to. I'm like, wait, now what do I do? Like, how do I spend this time? So like, that's what's happening in our brain. So we feel, and then everybody online is saying, you need to do this, you need to do that, and demanding, and you feel like you're missing out. And it's this constant FOMO. There's just so much. Like, we have to reclaim control over our own lives. And so I think the reason why we feel like we need to automate and scale and do, is because we're all trying to just keep up with something that's impossible to keep up with. I remind myself from time to time, I legit say this out loud. I'm like, Esprit, you can't read the entire internet. It's okay.
Yeah, we try to do that, right?
Yeah. We totally try to read. Then how many things have you bookmarked and put in reading lists to save for later or watch later on YouTube?
Right. And then never go back to, right?
Yeah.
Because we have a new thing that we're interested in. It's crazy. So before we finish up here, Esprit, just first of all, thank you so much. Yeah. Where can people go to listen to you elsewhere from here?
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, I just want to say, I feel like everybody should just read your blog to educate that. I mean, your blog is the biggest resource. Nobody needs, I mean, you could go to me, find me, it's fine. But I think the stuff that you're creating has always been so valuable and sincere since the beginning. You've never been gross.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah. No. And so I think go to your blog to continue to educate yourself. You created a really reliable system so that people have an actionable resource to go to. And you've consistently done this since what, 2012-ish?
08.
Oh, 2008. That's crazy. And it's been consistent. So it's the most, and Pat creates like all these action steps and blueprints. And I mean, like any, you are just not alone in Pat's communities, you know? So yeah, I would say don't, like, you could say hi to me, Google me, but like really go to you. That's the call to action.
Esprit, I appreciate you so much for that deflection. I will redeflect in the show notes for everybody just so they can find you. Can I have a final word of inspiration for everybody who is a brand new creator? There's a lot of new creators coming into the economy today, which is awesome. Yeah. What would be a wise word from Esprit to help them on their journey this year? This is one of the first episodes of this year. Let's give them some ice.
Remember that your intuition is your oracle. You have everything you need inside of yourself. The only thing holding you back is you.
Boom. Love it. Esprit, I love you so much. Thank you so much for coming on today. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. This is such an honor, Pat. Like, thank you.
No, the pleasure and honor is all mine. So thank you so much. Yeah. We'll see you soon. All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Esprit Devora. Isn't she amazing? She's incredible. We'll put all the links where they usually go, right, in the show notes for where you can find her, because she was so gracious and said, no, she like deflected that back to me, and I'm going to deflect it back to her because she deserves it. And you should definitely check her out. And again, her podcast, wearelatech.com. She's been with them for nearly 10 years now, which is amazing. She's the founder. And then also Women in Tech podcast. And again, you can find her also on Clubhouse. Maybe her face is going to be on the app again. Maybe not. But right now it's changed out. But I remember recognizing that when I logged into Clubhouse when she was on it. It was super cool. So Esprit, E-S-P-R-E-E, Devora, D-E-V-O-R-A. And again, thank you for listening to the podcast. I hope you subscribe to the show because we got so many amazing people and guests who are going to come on to share some things with you. And not just incredible leaders like what we had last week with Lewis House. I highly recommend you check out that episode if you haven't already. He is the founder of School of Greatness, Esprit Today. We have so many other big celebrities and A-listers on the show to help you. But we also love to feature people who are in the community. And you're going to hear people coming up who are right in the middle of building their business and going through the thick, hard things with you. But we're going to talk about it. We're going to get through it together, and we're going to learn some stuff because there's so many amazing people in this community who can help each other as well. So I appreciate you listening in. Thank you so much. Please subscribe, and I'll see you in the next one. As always, peace out and take care. Team Flynn for the win. Cheers. Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income podcast at smartpassiveincome.com. I'm your host, Pat Flynn. Sound design and editing by Paul Gregoris. Our senior producer is Sarah Jane Hess. Our series producer is David Grabowski, and our executive producer is Matt Gartland. The Smart Passive Income Podcast is a production of SPI Media. We'll catch you in the next session. Entrepreneurs, what is the smart way to save when your growing business takes you on the road? Whether you're going to events or conventions or you're speaking somewhere, no matter what it is, you need to sign up for a free membership with Hertz Business Rewards. Yep, Hertz Rental Car created a program to help small and mid-sized businesses save money. Work trips, client meetings, industry conferences. With Hertz Business Rewards, you save at least 20% every time you rent a car. And you'll save on more than just the daily rate. Members earn credits redeemable toward free rental days. And it's also free to add an additional driver if any additional coworkers come along. And for those Gen Z entrepreneurs out there, no young renter fees. Plus, sign up for Hertz Business Rewards today and earn 3 times credit during your first 90 days. These benefits add up to big savings that stack more dollars in your wallet. Join for free at Hertz.com/business rewards. Applies to base rate, taxes, fees, and options excluded. Additional terms and exclusions apply. Visit Hertz.com/business rewards to learn more. Hey, if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I've got one for you. It's called Dirty Money, and it's like a hybrid between a true crime and a business podcast. So hosts Jonathan Small and Dan Bova tell the tales of legendary scammers, con artists, and barely legal lowlifes who stop at nothing to rake in millions. Recent episodes include the man who looted $100 million from his own company. Crazy. Give it a listen. Head on over to Dirty Money right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.